This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen with RotoWire.com. We have our first, name player training camp injury. We'll talk about that, react to that with Justin Fields. We got player or pass it today, the critically acclaimed segment that you always see on this show. Our overrated fantasy football players, and then my Dinger Thursday, Dinger props of the day. Nick Whalen, let's talk a little Justin Fields. I get a number of on my phone, I get a number of different notifications. I get ESPN, I get Yahoo, I get The Athletic. I get every single notification. And it was Justin Fields carted off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's probably done for here. Mm-hmm. Turns out it wasn't quite as bad as the initial headline suggested. This is one where you need to read the story, find out the full details, and not just look at the headlines.
Yeah, no question about it. And guys like us, if you're watching this program, you're probably nodding along. I'm going to use a really outdated Office reference, Jeff. When training camp news like this breaks and you're subscribed to all those apps, it's like getting a woof notification. You get seven different apps alerting you right away that Justin Fields is down. The cart is coming out. And thankfully, the more detail that we got on this report, the less severe it appears to be. Ian Rappaport jumped in and said that Justin Fields is dealing with a dislocated toe. There does not appear to be a fracture to that toe. It's not his big toe, which I guess is a good thing still. Any kind of toe injury you do worry about, particularly with a mobile quarterback. The overall severity of this injury remains unclear. Aaron Glenn said, somebody just kind of inadvertently stepped on his foot during a rep. But Mike Garafolo from NFL Network then came in and said that the expectation is that this is not overly severe. Yeah, maybe Fields misses some time over the next few weeks, but he should be fine for week one, the double revenge game for Fields and Aaron Rodgers, Jets Steelers.
The funny thing is I'm as much of an Office aficionado I thought I was as you, and I never remembered that episode when we were talking about that earlier today. But good news on there. I know you're big on Fields. I know Tyrod Taylor is the backup. I'm big on Garrett Wilson this year, so of course, That correlates there. So I was immediately concerned as well, but it looks like we're going to be a little bit better off as far as that goes. So good news all around there. So good, happy, not good news all around, but if you've done this enough, you're experienced to kind of read the details. I remember Jamal Charles getting quote unquote carted off, and that was sitting in the front seat next to the driver and a golf cart. This is a similar sort of vibe. The Giants, and while we're sticking with New York quarterbacks, they officially named Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. Not a surprise. We knew that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter to begin the year. The real question is for how long?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the question. And, their GM, Joe Shane, was asked about that earlier this week. And really started kind of pontificating on this idea that I think they want Jackson Dart to sit for as long as possible this season. Now, it feels like every team, every GM says that, when you draft a quarterback, whether it's, especially one of those guys later in the first round or in the second round, a guy who's a little bit more of a developmental player, you're always going to get it worked for Patrick Mahomes and it worked for Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. More often than not, push comes to shove and there's either an injury to the veteran starter or, you just can't really live with how they're performing. There is a lot of pressure, by the way, I think on Joe Shane, a lot of pressure on Brian Daboll to maximize this season, whatever that means for the New York Giants. I think the defense could be pretty good. The offense obviously has a lot of questions, but, Joe Shane said, quote, "I think there's some real benefits from sitting and learning, specifically from some of the guys in the room that have the experience that they have. But if the coaching staff at some point feels it's right and Dart is ready, then I will leave that up to them." And, he also added that, their offensive coordinator now, Mike Kafka, who I believe, Jeff, is a Northwestern guy, if I'm remembering correctly.
Go Cats!
From the early 2000s. But he was on staff with the Chiefs during Patrick Mahomes' rookie season when, of course, he sat behind Alex Smith, didn't make his debut until the final, I think it was meaningless game of the season. So on paper, I think that's at least the path that they want to take. Again, it's worked for some high-profile quarterbacks in the past. I don't know if I buy that. I think there's going to be enough pressure. I don't expect Russell Wilson to play well enough that the Giants and their fans and the organization will be satisfied with Russell Wilson. I think we see Jackson Dart this year.
By the way, if you want to see Mike Kafka at his best, Google or go on YouTube and search for Outback Bowl Northwestern versus Auburn. you know, there's a truncated version, at least, so you can see the highlights. Yeah. They ran like over 100 plays, a bonkers overtime game against Auburn. Crazy, crazy game. But it was a whole lot of fun there. There is one day baseball game going on here. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at that. That is Baltimore and Cleveland. That's 3-2. The Orioles are in the fourth inning on this one. Charlie Morton against Logan Allen. Home runs in this game. Stephen Kwan with the homer, his seventh of the year. Ramon Laureano back from the fantasy grave, 14th homer on the season. He's been playing a ton this season. That one there is in the fourth inning. We're going to be talking a lot more baseball for picks later on. It is Dinger Thursday. We also have some baseball reaction from last night as well. The Dodgers got off the schneid, got a big, much-needed win, 4-6 in their last 10. Shohei Ohtani homered yet again. He's an overwhelming favorite for the NL MVP, Nick.
Yeah, he's a heavier favorite even than Aaron Judge at this point, thanks to, of course, what Cal Raleigh is doing out west for Seattle. But a much-needed win for the LA Dodgers. Like you said, they've been scuffling along. They had the two sweep series against Milwaukee, you know, some frustration coming out of that clubhouse. Feels like the sky is falling. The bullpen's a disaster. And yet you look up and the LA Dodgers are still leading the NL West by 4.5 games, despite facing some pretty stiff competition out there. So the Dodgers are fine. They got the deadline coming up in a week. We know they'll do what they need to do to fortify that bullpen. And yeah, you mentioned Ohtani. When you look at the MVP odds now, -1600 to win NL MVP over at DraftKings. Pete Crow Armstrong next in the odds at 9-1. I mean, we all know how great Ohtani is, Jeff, but this would be an incredible run if he does hang on and win the MVP. This would be 3 in a row. It would be 4 out of 5. Barry Bonds did win 4 in a row from 2001 to 2004. Also separately won 3 out of 4 back in the early 90s with the Pirates and the Giants. But I mean, since Barry Bonds, or really other than Barry Bonds, I mean, we haven't seen somebody dominate the overall MVP conversation, because of course Ohtani won in the AL with the Angels, but we haven't seen somebody just dominate it like this in a while.
Yeah, that's right. And the funny thing is, in other sports, sometimes you get some MVP voter fatigue. That's not the case with Ohtani. I don't think people are tired of Ohtani, first of all. I think most people really love to see him. He's just such a phenomenon. And this year, he's so outdistanced himself from the pack. The Dodgers are a good team. They're going to be in the playoffs. I know they're going through a tough stretch right now, but all the boxes are checked with him. It's really a tough look if you're trying to bet against him there. Yeah, maybe Pete Crow Armstrong or Juan Soto or someone like that makes a run. Maybe their respective teams make a run. But you look at the team with the hottest team in baseball right now is your Brewers. They don't really have an MVP candidate, so you really can't go that route. You don't have that one guy that's carrying the team offensively. That's not their style. So, yeah, it makes sense that he's such a prohibitive favorite. It would really take him getting hurt tomorrow for missing the rest of the season for him not to win.
That's the thing, and that's why it's not really a very fun bet. You know, it's like PCA, I need more than 9-1, because like you said, this bet is literally, will Shohei Ohtani get hurt? And that's betting on another player to get injured is not really a fun way to attack that market. But the voter fatigue thing that you brought up, I think is really interesting, because we absolutely see that in other sports. I think we saw it to some degree in the NFL last season with Lamar and Josh Allen. We see it feels like every year in the NBA, where especially if you win 2 in a row, it's like, all right, cross them out next year. There's just nothing you can do. Even if you're the best player like Jokic or Giannis, it just feels like it's somebody else's award. But yeah, that doesn't really happen in baseball, I guess, maybe because it is so stat-based and not really narrative-based. You know, the NBA MVP specifically is you have to spin a season-long narrative, and especially over the second half of the year, that never really happens in baseball, right? You never talk about the MVP narrative.
Right. No, you don't. You don't. And maybe it's because it's such a long-form thing, this long-form league, so many trials. You get real robust debate sometimes. The narrative sometimes you'll get is, you know, new age stats versus old age stats. I mean, the Trout Miggy Cabrera MVP debate is the one that comes to mind for me. Is that was, you know, hey, Miggy won the Triple Crown. Trout plays defense. It's kind of funny that the way that the debate kind of was structured is it was kind of old school versus new school, but really it wasn't, because usually the old school kind of claims you never factor in defense enough, but with Trout, they're kind of pushing it back against that. So if there's maybe an era where there was some fatigue, it might have been Trout. Yeah. But that was also because there was a really legitimate pivot there. And that more, this year, we just don't have that there. So, you know, you look at it from that point of view. Let's move on. Let's talk a little San Francisco Giants. Huzzah! Justin Verlander got his first win of the year. 17 starts. He finally got his first win yesterday against the Braves. 1-8 on the season. The funny thing, Nick, is he didn't, you know, in some ways, it wasn't a great performance. He walked five guys in five innings. Only, you know, threw 98 pitches to get through five innings. He only allowed one hit, but he only had three strikeouts as well. But the Giants got to Spencer Strider.
They sure did. Got to him early. You know, we were on air while that game was playing out yesterday. Obviously, a huge day for Rafael Devers and the Braves. Their struggles continue. Kind of a fitting way, I guess, for Justin Verlander to get that first win, Jeff. Like, he's taken some losses. Yeah. He's taken some no decisions where it felt like he should have come away with a win. So kind of unbelievable that it took 17 starts. But we'll issue an official prop points congratulations to Justin Verlander.
Right. Giants are sitting fourth in the wild card race in the NL. They've won two in a row after a big losing streak going into that series in Atlanta. Game and a half behind the Padres. Plenty of baseball left. Be able to do that. All right. Let's talk real quick here. Did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the draft assistant like I did for the Scott Fish Bowl, or to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Play it or pass it. It's coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson with Nick Whalen here. It is time for another enthusiastic edition of Play It or Pass It. We got Michael Cohen, our executive producer, finding some of the greatest props, both football and baseball, and we decide whether to play it or pass it. Let's start off in the NFL world. Josh Allen, over 27.5 passing touchdowns at plus 100, Nick. Play it or pass it.
Okay, so we're going to play this one, Jeff. 27.5 to me, a pretty attainable number. Did throw just 28 last year. But with Josh Allen, I don't worry about injury as much as I would the average NFL player, the average NFL quarterback. Maybe I should because of his reckless style of play, but the guy just does not miss games. You know, you see him take these huge hits. He has these nagging injuries. He suits up. He looks like himself every single week. He started all but one game over the last four seasons. Now, the touchdown numbers have been depressed a bit over the last two seasons. He has still gone over this number in five straight, but, you know, relative to that 2020 to 2022 stretch when he was comfortably throwing 35, 36, 37 touchdowns, you know, he's been closer to that 28, 29 range the last couple of years. You know, you do worry about, you know, him losing some of those passing touchdown opportunities because of his rushing ability, but his passing volume in the red zone was still solid last year. You know, it wasn't top of the league, but it wasn't bottom of the league either. You know, you think some of those touchdowns that went to James Cook, you know, maybe there are other options this year. Certainly would expect some regression there. And, you know, looking at the red zone numbers, Jeff completed just 54% of his passes in the red zone, still had 20 red zone touchdowns, but that completion percentage well below league average. So the thing is, they need to find a real red zone option, right? Dalton Kincaid wasn't really that guy last season. That's not really what Khalil Shakir does. So I think the big linchpin here, other than Josh Allen, of course, staying healthy, is can Keon Coleman step up and be a true red zone threat? If he can, this should be an easy over.
All right, there you have it. I like easy overs. Let's play it. Jonathan Taylor, over 1,200.5 rushing yards, minus 120. Pretty hefty price to pay for such a big number. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, I get the price. You know, like Jonathan Taylor should go over this number. It's, you know, a little bit higher than you might see for some running backs. You know, finished fourth in the NFL in total rushing yards last year with over 1,400. And he did that despite missing three games. But he's still only gone over this number twice in his career. You know, missed time is always going to be a concern with Jonathan Taylor. 3-7-6 missed games over the last three seasons. One of those years, you know, the holdout was part of it, but injuries have been the primary concern. you know, the thing with this number, as he showed us last year, is that he could still miss three, maybe even four games and still get there. But at minus 120, there's a little too much risk here, given his injury history, given the fact that the quarterback situation could end up being a disaster. You do worry about the game-to-game production with JT. And really, only seven running backs ended up reaching this mark last season. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Taylor himself, Gibbs, Jacobs, and Kyren Williams. All of those running backs, except Jonathan Taylor, played at least 16 games. So at minus 120, there's just a little too much risk for me. I will pass this one.
All right, very good. I saw this next prop, and I'm like, oh, this has got to be the most obvious pass in the history of play it or pass it, I think, for Nick Whalen in particular there, and that is George Kittle. Looking at his receiving touchdowns prop, and we're looking at a number at 6.5. I know how many leagues you've already clicked on George Kittle. Can I just answer this? This is a play it, right?
Of course it's a play it. Of course it's a play it, especially if you're giving me plus 120 on this, Jeff. Now, I do wish this was 5.5, because that's where a lot of the tight end numbers come in, even some 4.5s out there for some pretty good tight ends. So, you know, they're baiting us a little bit, but Kittle did go over this number last season. He's finished with 8, 6, 11, and 6 touchdowns over the last 4 years. I will say, unlike Josh Allen, you do worry about health for George Kittle. He is a guy who is seemingly always banged up. You know, sometimes he'll play through it, sometimes he doesn't, but health is certainly a factor when it comes to this prop. With that said, I still think, you know, if he can just get to 14, 15, maybe even fewer games, there's a pretty good chance he can still go over. He was the second most targeted tight end in the red zone in the NFL last season, behind only Travis Kelce. Caught 18 of 21 targets in the red zone. All 8 of his touchdowns came within the 20-yard line. Jeff, he went over this number by week 8 last season, then had just one touchdown over his final 7 games. 49ers completely collapsed at that point. Injuries set in. Brock Purdy missed time. I like this one a lot. It's a little bit of a higher number than I would expect, but that's why we're getting it at plus 120. Easy play.
All right. This has become Whalen-centric. Everything's coming up Milhouse for you on this one here, but because the next prop in play it or pass it is a member of your Jacksonville Jaguars. We're talking a little Brian Thomas Jr. Over 1,150.5 receiving yards, minus 110 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, this is dangerous territory for me, asking to opine on the Jaguars. It's been a while really since they've had a receiver that would even qualify for a prop like this. I don't think we would have been talking about Cecil Shorts receiving yards prop a few years ago, Jeff. But look, as skeptical as I may be of the Jaguars franchise, I love Brian Thomas Jr. I think he is absolutely the talent that he showed that he was over the second half of last year. You look at some of the numbers here. 9 wide receivers went over this number last season. Each of them played at least 15 games. 7 of 9 played 17 games. So those are kind of the prerequisites that we're looking at. It's a little concerning, of course, that Brian Thomas didn't really come into his own, start putting up those repeated elite games until it was Mac Jones' time in Jacksonville. Final 6 games of the year, he averaged 11.7 targets, 7.5 catches, 98.9 yards per game, 13.2 yards per reception. With that said, did have a few splash games earlier in the year with Trevor Lawrence. 6 for 86 against Houston, 5 for 122 against Indy, 5 for 89 against New England. But really, the volume didn't come until later in the year. I think he picks up where he left off. I think Trevor Lawrence recognizes who the number one guy is in this offense. And really, the presence of Travis Hunter, not a huge alarm bell for me. He'll have a role, but I don't see him truly taking targets away from Brian Thomas Jr. All right, we're going to switch over to some Major League Baseball props in just a moment as we continue play it or pass it. But first, folks, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books. And exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds over at ProfitX. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. All right, Jeff, we have a very abbreviated Major League Baseball slate. One game ongoing. Orioles, Guardians, we're in the top of the fifth now, still 3-2 O's, but just 4 more games coming our way later tonight. We'll have some more baseball plays to conclude the show. But we'll look at Yusei Kikuchi, Jeff. Play it or pass it. Kikuchi over 6.5 strikeouts tonight at plus 100.
I'm going to channel my inner Lisa Loeb here and say, you only hear what you want to. I I love Yusei Kikuchi. I like the over 6.5 Ks here. I'm going to play this one. Seattle versus left-handed pitchers, 24.6% K percentage. Kikuchi has missed the 6.5 mark in two of his last three starts, but five of his last seven. Far better metrics at home than on the road. ERA, whip, K percentage, they're all better at home. I know Seattle's offense is a little scarier when they leave T-Mobile Park, but I do really think that he hits this number. At plus 100, too, I'm getting a plus price. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm gonna admit here, Jeff, I have no idea who Lisa Loeb is. Can you give me some context?
Probably not. 90s era is when she first came out. A couple of songs. Then she started doing kids albums. But just showing my age and my niche music tastes.
There we go. That's what we'll take here. I'll play it or pass it. All right, let's look at Toronto and Detroit. This is a Tigers team, Jeff, that is really struggling over these last couple of weeks, and now they welcome in one of the hottest teams in the AL. Play it or pass it on Bo Bichette to record an RBI today, plus 130 going up against Reese Olson.
So initially, I was tempted on this one here. Bichette's had two RBI in three of his last four games. They moved him down in the order, so it's worked out a little bit there in terms of where he's hitting. Batting cleanup behind, usually Nathan Lucas, George Springer, who's been on fire, Vlad Guerrero, who's always on base. Pretty tempting, right? However, I'm kind of a little wary of this one here for a couple of reasons. That Reese Olson might be the Tigers' second-best starter right now behind Tarek Skubal. Since coming off the IL, 1-2-0 earned runs in three starts since returning. If we were doing rate this prop instead of play it or pass it, I'd probably rate this as a 3, maybe a 2.75 if we're going to get really granular. So it's not like I'm way against this. Definitely wouldn't, if we were playing craps, I wouldn't be betting the don't on this one. Okay. But I'm also not going to race to the window to bet it either. So I'm going to pass it.
Okay. We got time for one quick bonus play it or pass it, Jeff.
All right.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. to hit a home run plus 550 tonight.
You know, it's funny. I was going to use him on Dinger Thursday. I have another option in that game instead. But yeah, I think that at 550, that's a playable number for sure. Yeah, let's play it.
Okay, there we go. We'll have more baseball plays coming your way to round out the show. But when we come back, take a look at some college football, Big Ten Media Days ongoing. Beeson was on the scene for that. We'll talk a little Washington Huskies, and we'll get into some fantasy talk too. Some overrated and underrated players that Jeff and I want to highlight for this season. We'll be right back. You're watching Prop Points here on Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you this afternoon. One baseball game in action on a very light MLB Thursday. Jeff, we told you that Stephen Kwan homered in the bottom of the third. He's homered again. It is now 3-3.
Wow.
Between the Orioles and the Guardians. Yeah, we are in the bottom of the fifth, one out, one on for the Guardians, who've been hot lately, won six of their last seven, trying to keep that up, complete a four-game sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. We'll keep you posted on that game. We'll talk a little bit more baseball to round out the show. But Jeff, as you know, Big Ten Media Days are ongoing right now. We're both Big Ten guys. Beeson's been all over it out at Mandalay Bay. Tim Murray, Stormy Bonantoni have been on the scene interviewing Big Ten coaches and players. We have an exclusive interview with our guy, Tim Murray, talking with Washington head coach Jed Fish on their outlook for the season and what we're going to learn about sophomore quarterback Damon Williams. So let's roll it.
Yeah, you know, in our year two at Arizona, we had Jaden Delora and wound up being top five in the country in passing. And then year three, we went from Jaden to Noah and stayed in that same area, I think sixth or fifth in passing and scoring. And when you get into that world, like, Damon has similar traits of both those guys. His ability to make people miss reminded me a lot of Jaden. His ability to make plays with his feet reminded me of Jaden. His accuracy, his ability to throw the football from all the different platforms reminded me of Noah. His ability to be that special athlete reminds me about no one. He is elite at being able to run and catch. He's a and throw, I should say. He's elite in terms of his ability to process football very quickly. So it's a pleasure to coach him. I'm excited to see what he can do, what type of step he can make. There's a lot more that he can get better at, and that's our goal.
All right, there we have it. That was Washington head coach Jed Fish talking about his sophomore quarterback, Damon Williams. Jeff, we're still talking about a Washington team that is, you know, trying to find its way back, of course, after playing in the national championship a couple of years ago, projected to finish in that 9-10 range in the Big Ten, which is not bad considering we're up to 18 teams in a conference that is now called the Big Ten. But this is a guy who's a four-star prospect coming out of high school, number 19 quarterback in his class, committed to Arizona back in 2023, shortly after ended up transferring to Washington. You know, we saw bits and pieces of him in 13 games last year, did have a big game in the Sun Bowl, Washington falling to Louisville in a close game, 26 of 32, 374 yards, four touchdowns, and a pick at 48 rushing yards on 20 carries in that game, did Damon Williams. Washington 60-1 right now to win the Big Ten. The win total comes in at 6.5. Fairly tough schedule for the Huskies, however.
Yeah, they do dodge Penn State. I like that three out of their four toughest conference games are at home, Ohio State, Illinois, and Oregon. They do have to play at Michigan, though, and that could be a tough one for them there. Non-conference-wise, Colorado State was actually pretty decent last year. They've got the in-state rivalry game at Wazoo. That's no longer a conference game. That's in the reformed Pac, yeah. Pac-2 or whatever we're calling the Pac these days. There are worse schedules as far as the conference goes. Keep in mind, the Big Ten plays nine conference games, too, so that's another thing to look for with them. And, hey, they've got a really nice home field advantage. They've got that beautiful stadium by the lake. It's a long trip for most of these conference foes, except for Oregon. You know, it might set up pretty well. I do worry about that game at Michigan, though.
Yeah, Big Ten Media Day is still ongoing out in Vegas. You can check out all of our coverage, Tim Murray, Storm and Bonantoni, on the scene. You can check that out on VSiN.com over on the VSiN Watch app as well. Jeff, we're going to talk some fantasy. I know you got some overvalued players that you want to rant on a bit here, but first, we got to tell you, we've been talking about it all month. The VSiN NFL betting guide is out, and our all-new college football betting guide drops in just a couple weeks on August 5th. Want full access to both? You can sign up for our football special. Get everything VSiN Pro has to offer across all sports from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. This limited-time offer includes a daily best bets email from all of our expert hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, plus, you'll get full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. But don't wait. This early bird pricing expires July 31st. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in your football special right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, this is a fitting transition, Jeff, because I know there's plenty of great fantasy content in the VSiN NFL betting guide this season. Highly, highly encourage you to check that out. Both Jeff and I, we're honored to contribute, and I think this is the best one that VSiN has ever put together. So again, make sure you go get that over on VSiN.com. Jeff, let's talk about some guys that you view as overrated right now in the fantasy streets. And I want to start at quarterback. You know, there are very specific tiers, it feels like, at this position. You got five at the top that everybody really likes. There's kind of this middle zone of three or four quarterbacks. And one of those is Bo Nix, who goes as the QB8. Now, we saw a ton of development from Bo Nix on the fly last season. You look at the first four or five games of the year compared to the second half, look like a different guy out there for the Broncos. But I know that you're looking at Bo Nix and wondering, okay, can he repeat what he did over the second half?
Right. And I think fantasy drafters are actually treating him as if he's going to take another step up. You know, 29 touchdown passes last year, had over 400 rushing yards, had four rushing touchdowns. His last rushing touchdown was in week 8 last year. It's not like they have a lot of designed runs for him. They don't have the Bronco Buster push or anything like that. They don't have like their version of the Eagles or the Bills do at the goal line there. So I don't think you're going to get a big jump in rushing touchdowns. If you look at his, you know, get a little granular with his production, 23-5 TD, the interception ratio, 7.2 YPA against the bottom third teams in the NFL and schedule-wise, bottom third defenses, 6-7 TD to interception, a 5.9 YPA against the better defenses. They're going to face more better defenses this year, Nick. They're going to face better teams. Their schedule is going to toughen up. Carolina is not walking through that door. You know, I think it's that part of the schedule is going to be a little bit tougher for him. And I look at players and they don't always progress linearly. We always think, okay, year two, it's going to be better. Well, year one was so smooth sailing. The offensive line stayed completely healthy. I think there, you just have to bake in a little bit of regression, if anything, with him. And as the QB7 in fantasy drafts, I think that's too high of a price. QB7, QB6, QB8, depending where you put him, slot him versus Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, I think that price is too high. I don't like to get a quarterback in the draft range where he's going, for that matter, as well. There's a good chance I won't have any Bo Nix on any of my teams this year.
So you got a couple running backs on your list, Jeff, who I completely agree with. I love fading the aging, injury-prone running back. We're talking about guys like Joe Mixon, guys who you highlighted, like James Conner and Aaron Jones. I would push back a little bit, though, on another running back who made your list, Kyren Williams, going as the RB12 right now. So what is the sell on fading Kyren Williams?
The sell is, first of all, the price. And you're counting on the same sort of volume that he's had in his 3 years with the Rams, despite declining efficiency. If you look at like just as one little metric there, I know yards per carry isn't everything, but it's something. It's something that tells us a little bit about it there. In 2023, averaged 5 yards a carry. Last year was down to 4.1 yards per carry. The pass catching, there was not a lot of burst. You know, 34 catches, only 182 yards from that as well. I just don't think he is a big play player. Only 2 rushes over 20 yards last year. You're paying the end of the second round price on Kyren Williams. You're taking him maybe over Josh Jacobs. You're taking him over Chase Brown. I don't think so. I'm not going to be doing that. I think I need him to fade to the end of the third round before I'm taking Kyren Williams, which means I'm probably not getting him.
2 rushes over 20 yards is insane. That's a great stat. Do you worry at all about the relative lack of pass catching for him compared to the other first, second round running backs?
Yeah, sure. And especially they added another running back this year in Hunter from Auburn. Just a little bit more competition. Maybe Blake Corum is not going to be that threat that many thought he was last year. Maybe that's still a chance in year two that Corum is still part of the picture. I think there's more competition than there was in the past. I don't think Sean Payton is saying like, oh, we got to have one guy and only one guy. And so Kyren's going to definitely repeat the volume that he's had. I don't think that's the case. Maybe he still gets the goal line carries and he's fine. But counting on those touchdowns to get you that value, I think that's a bad plan.
Jeff, you got a whole bevy of tight ends who you're fading later in drafts. Jonnu Smith, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, Dalton Kincaid. We don't have time to hit all of them here, but who are you fading the hardest of that group?
Well, let's talk about the rookies, because I think they're the more interesting ones to talk about. Colston Loveland, the first tight end in the draft. Don't criticize the Bears. I'm not criticizing the Bears for taking him. I just question whether he's going to have that value in his rookie season. I think we got spoiled by Brock Bowers with his 111 catches last year. We're not going to get that volume in a Chicago Bears offense. Add in the fact that with his shoulder issue, you know, he's maybe a slow ramp up at training camp for him. I know he just got the ready to go for the start of training camp, but there's going to be a ramp up period. That worries me fantasy wise. I think in a dynasty league, a keeper league, it's one thing to go ahead and add him or Austin Warren. I think both of those players have some issues drawing the back. Look at it with Warren with the Colts. You've got Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson throwing him the ball. You have 4 receivers that I think all have some value in Pittman and Downs, A.D. Mitchell and Alec Pierce. It's a crowded room. I think it's going to be tough for him to get that volume. So I like other tight ends better.
We're moving back to Major League Baseball when we come back. Best bets for the MLB coming your way next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. One segment left. We're going to give you some best bets for a very small Major League Baseball slate tonight. Coming up after us here on the network, we got Make It Rain with our guy Adam Schein. That starts up in about 15 minutes. He's going to be talking Buffalo Bills, some training camp notes, what to expect from Josh Allen and that offense. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. That's coming your way at 4 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you stick around for VSiN Primetime starting up at 7. Jeff, we still have one game ongoing right now in Major League Baseball. 3-3 in the top of the 7th between the O's and the Guardians.
Yeah, and interesting in this game, you mentioned Stephen Kwan earlier with the two homers. His name has been bantered about in some trade rumors. Maybe the Dodgers going after him, filled their that left field hole that, you know, been created by Michael Conforto's terrible year, maybe paired along with Emmanuel Clase with the attrition right there. That's less likely to be on the table than it was earlier. Cleveland's caught fire. They've won four in a row now. If they win today, it moves them within two games of the wild card. They're currently in. And the thing is, the whole wild card picture in the AL is wild right now. The Yankees have the top wild card, but they're only two games up on both the Mariners and the Red Sox as the second and third wild cards. The Rangers and the Rays are 1.5 back, and the Guardians are 2.5 back at 51-50. The Guardians have a pretty light schedule on the way home. Mm-hmm. They played the toughest first half schedule in baseball. I don't know if any of these Cleveland players are going to be available necessarily. I mean, they have a negative 34 run differential, but you know, it's just such a soft bubble in the AL for the wild card. Even a team like the Royals at 4.5 back are plausibly still alive. We saw second half runs last year by the Tigers and the Royals last year to get into those wild cards. It's not too, I don't think it's too late for the Guardians to make a run.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this would be 8 wins in their last 9 if they can prevail this afternoon. I think they're very much in it. Where do you draw the line right now? Is it just Baltimore, the Athletics, and the White Sox? Like, what do you do with the Twins and the Angels who are 5 games out?
Yeah, they're tough calls. I think Minnesota, I mean, their biggest bargaining chip is one that's not going to be a chip because Byron Buxton has a full no trade clause and said he won't waive it. So, I mean, if you look at their bullpen, they have some bullpen pieces that a lot of people would really love to have. And, you know, we'll see about that. They're going through that ownership transition that might free up some payroll once the sale does eventually get done. But they're on the edge of being sellers right now. I think that is like the demarcation point where we wait. The Orioles, they just lost a trade chip, possibly. Felix Bautista just went on the IL with shoulder discomfort. Big loss for them. Big loss just because, you know, really pitchers are always have some currency. Maybe they wouldn't have traded Bautista anyhow, but that's a bad, bad break.
All right, let's take a look at the 4 remaining games on the Major League Baseball slate later tonight. Jeff, go in some detail here. It is Dinger Thursday on Prop Points. Didn't get to do that last week during training camp week. So I know you got a Dinger prop for each of these games. Let's start. 2 teams facing off in the American League, Jeff, who will not be sellers at the deadline. The Blue Jays are in Detroit. Tigers, slight favorites on the money line. Total sitting at 8.5. Eric Lauer going up against Reese Olson. I need a money line play, and I need a Dinger prop.
All right. I will provide both for you, Nick. First of all, money line play. I kind of like the Jays to continue their role, even though they're on the road. Tigers have lost 9 out of 10. Detroit versus left-handed pitchers. Lauer is a lefty. 22.7 K percentage. 330 WOBA, 112 WRC plus. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Last 30 days, though, 313 WOBA, 101 WRC plus. It shows that their bats are slumping. It's not just the pitching. Toronto is a team that doesn't strike out, 15.9%. It's even going down further. 343 WOBA, 120 WRC plus. All this points to Toronto being maybe a better team right now in this current window than the Tigers. You're getting plus money. I understand it's that on the road. That's always a little tougher for them. But at plus 111, I'll go with that money line. For our Dinger Thursday, you already mentioned Vlad at 550. I was looking for a right-handed hitter for Dinger Thursday. Comerica Park plays better for home runs for righties than lefties by a decent amount. So let's go George Springer at plus 500 for our Dinger Thursday.
Padres are in St. Louis taking on the Cardinals, and seeing the Cardinals pretty hefty home favorites here, Jeff. Yu Darvish going up against Sonny Gray. I know you're looking at Sonny Gray, and of course, we got another Dinger prop.
Yeah, I am. This week, I will not be saying no play for Mr. Gray. He got torched by the Diamondbacks last time out, but he's so much worse on the road than he is at home. On the road, 584 ERA. At home, 284 ERA. Pair that with the Padres as the 28th in WOBA over the last 30 days. That offense still struggling. I know, get him out of Petco, maybe they'll be a little bit better, but still, I'm kind of leaning going the under 1.5 runs allowed by Sonny Gray. You get plus 105 on that. I don't really trust Yu Darvish, so I'm not going to touch the money line, but I will go after Yu Darvish. You know, he's got a 6.08 ERA since returning, hasn't allowed a homer yet, but that's not for a lack of trying. I think Brendan Donovan at plus 500 is a pretty good price for Dinger Thursday.
All right. I love it. Couple 5-1 dingers with George Springer and Brendan Donovan. We got the Athletics on the road in Houston tonight, Jeff. This is Luis Severino taking on Jason Alexander. What do you like in this one?
No relation to the Seinfeld star. Jason Alexander is replacing Lance McCullers. McCullers just went on the IL. Alexander is no young guy. He's 32 years old, AAA veteran, originally on the A's earlier this year. A cast off from the A's and the Astros have claimed him. So a pretty rough spot. You know, at least it's at home, and I think that's a better spot for him than pitching in Sacramento at least. Luis Severino totally agrees with that sentiment. 3.10 ERA on the road, 1.11 whip. Horrible at home in Sacramento. But two of his last three road starts have even been disasters there. So kind of a little bit worried about Severino. I'm not going to bet on the total on this one or even for that matter on a side. I'm just going to kind of stay away from that.
Oh,
you know, Severino was good against the Astros earlier this year. He's faced him twice, 3 earned runs, 4 total over 11 innings. The A's, you know, getting the game to Mason Miller might be a problem if they do have a lead. Jack Perkins pitched 3 innings yesterday. He's their best middle reliever. He's really good, but he's not available today. So I'm just going to go dinger Thursday. I'm going to go a little Brent Rooker. Plus 340, take advantage of those Crawford boxes. I think that's probably, usually that's a price I don't love, but in this one specific instance for right-handers, we like that going down the line there. I think Rooker can do it at plus 340.
All right, there we go. Nothing wrong with keeping it simple for that one, Jeff. Let's finish out with the lone game in the true late window tonight, a 9:38 Eastern time start out in LA. Very precise. It will not start any earlier or later than 9:38 PM. Mariners Angels, Logan Evans going up against Yusei Kikuchi. I know you like this as an under spot and going to need a dinger prop from you as well, Jeff.
Yeah. I think the total is that high because of the wind. It's 10 miles an hour going out. So that's something to watch for there. Better ballpark, obviously, than T-Mobile, but man, that seems like such a high number at 9.5. I'm going to take the under on that one. And I've talked about my like of Yusei Kikuchi earlier in the show when we were doing player to pass it. Minus 119 for the under price on that one there. Again, we like the Yusei Kikuchi strikeout prop from earlier as well, over 6.5. That's something to pay attention to. Logan Evans, 3.81 ERA. It's not really supported by the component numbers, so I'm not really kind of betting on it. It's 1.42 WHIP is just one example. 18 walks in 54 innings, 9 homers allowed. So decent number of homers. In fact, I'm going to go with an Angel for my, I should say I'm going to go with an Angel and a Mariner. I didn't write this in the doc, but I'm also going to go Logan Ohapi at plus 400. But my dinger Thursday guy is a guy we haven't really praised too much. It's Julio Rodriguez. You know, he's much better on the road than he is at home. T-Mobile just saps his power. If you look at the home road splits for Julio year to year, it's really pretty tough. This year in particular, only 4 homers at home, 10 on the road, 850 OPS on the road. He's on the road now. We like this. Let's go, Julio.
All right, it's time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Night. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa signature card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free 6-month VSiN Pro subscription. That's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. This one-time promo is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, best bet time. What do you got?
Something we haven't talked about today. We did the Detroit Lions preview over at SiriusXM Fantasy today. I'm going under 10.5 wins. It's minus 120 at Caesars. Shop around on futures all the time. Get that best price. Lost both their coordinators, lost their center. Tough schedule this year. Already had some injuries in camp on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, it's Dinger Thursday. I got to jump in on the fun, Jeff. Randy Arozarena, plus 360 to homer tonight. Feast or famine for him against Yusei Kikuchi. 5-for-22 career, but 2 home runs among those 5 hits. And I'm also going to put in the Cowboys over 2.5 division win. We'll talk more about that one on tomorrow's show. By the way, Orioles now up 4-3 on the Guardians. We'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon, but we're handing it off to Adam Schein. Make it rain coming up next here on VSiN.